This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
After praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending immense greetings and salutations upon the final Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, continuing looking at good moral values or practices, we find that many of us unfortunately condense our life on certain elements of practicing, that we begin to say that these are symbols of a practicing Muslim. These symbols are no doubt excellent and good traits for a person to have, but to condense a person's life or a person's features that this is the only symbol of a practicing Muslim is incorrect. Kamathal, we find that people may look at the size of a beard of an individual, the way they dress, the way they pray, the way they conduct certain external actions about their life, and people begin to conclude that this is a so-called practicing Muslim. And we begin to see, unfortunately, many flaws inside our etiquettes and our behavior, because sometimes we home in so much upon these external features that internal features are not changed of the individual. And that is the difference between the prophetic methodology of teaching people, that the Prophet ﷺ was more focused upon changing the states of hearts of mankind. Just like we find that there's sicknesses, external sicknesses that we may face and we struggle through. More deeper than that, and a greater struggle is amrad al-qulub, sicknesses of the heart, to cleanse the heart, to purify the heart. Thus you find at the final moment, just entering into Jannah, that we find the concept of ghil, hiqd, jealousy, hatred, envious behavior is taken out of the heart before the person enters into Jannah. Many of us will never ponder and reflect over that, that this is an ailment, a sickness that is far spread upon the earth. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to purify the human being totally, remove this ailment inside the heart of the individual and enter the individual in the purified state inside paradise. The qalbi munib, a pure heart. Likewise, we find يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالٌ وَلَا بَنُونَ إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ, that day whereby the children and wealth will not avail the individual except for a person who comes with a pure heart, a sound heart. Whoever tries to find a pure heart inside this dunya, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give that individual a pure heart inside the akhirah. And thus we find that the foreign following moral value that we find is sometimes difficult for some of us to practice. Some of us can show respect, we can show generosity, but how about towards those individuals who may harm you, or those individuals who turn away from you, or people who take away your right? This is where many of us, we fall short. That here that we find that now our practicing of Islam goes out the window. Now it becomes a personal vendetta, a personal experience, that this is my right that I need to claim back. Here we don't look at prophetic traditions or examples, or how the Prophet ﷺ conducted himself, or how he told the companions to conduct themselves. أفضل الفضائل أن تصل من قطعك وتطيع من منعك. The most virtuous of actions are to make ties with that person who cuts away from you. وتطيع من منعك, and to give to whoever does not give it to you, takes it away from you. وتصفح عمن شتمك, and to pardon and to forgive one who reviles you, who curses you, speaks ill of you. Al-Hadith in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad. Thus we find to be amicable, amicability, to show goodwill, friendship, to overlook and to pardon is a very deep value to have. Because if we are to be harsh and to retaliate with rudeness and to take revenge upon people, this world, as I say, won't be a very good place. It will be a place of lives of misery, complaints, anxiety, worries, guilt, hatred, anger and enmity. Thus Islam lifts the individual beyond what the average person does. That the Muslim isn't just the average individual. the Muslim begins to go deeper than that, to show these traits of values and characteristics and behaviors, to outshine the world, to outshine people around us, that there's something special about the Islamic belief. And thus it is virtuous to refrain from reciprocating those hard, hurtful actions. In the hadith in Sunan Imam Tirmidhi that we find, a man came and said to the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this individual, he came to stay with me. Or I went to stay with this individual. He did not entertain me and did not show any hospitality towards me. Now he's come to stay with me and look to be with me. What should I do in return? Should I behave exactly the same manner as this individual behaved towards me? He said, no, rather you should entertain him, take care of him. Likewise, another hadith that we find in the Sunan Imam Tirmidhi as well. Do not cut off relations with one another. Do not desert one another. Don't hate one another. And do not be envious of one another. وَلَكِنْ كُونُوا عِبَادَ اللَّهِ إِخْوَانًا. But rather be brothers towards one another. And a person should not abandon his brother for more than 3 days. Shouldn't stay away from his brother for 3 days, because then shaitan will get the better over both of these individuals. And this is what Islam or the Quran leads to, about pardoning, overlooking, trying to make relationships with people who break away from the individual. The Quran mentions, خُذِ الْأَفْوَ وَعْمُرْ بِالْعُرْفِ وَعْرِدْ عَنِ الْجَاهِلِينَ. Take the path of forgiveness, of pardoning, overlooking. وَعْمُرْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. Take the path of ordering the good. وَعْرِدْ عَنِ الْجَاهِلِينَ. And turn away from ignorant individuals. Because average individuals, they are ignorant individuals, in the sense that many people don't want to reconcile. They want to reconcile between people. People that they fluster over people having division, over having rancor. That's why even the Quran is very accurate in its wording. That even if disputes amongst family members between a husband and a wife, bring an individual from the husband's side and bring an individual from the woman's side who want to reconcile. Don't bring family members who are going to stir more problems or to serve their own cause. If they want Islah, they truly want reconciliation, then Allah will place blessing inside that. And likewise the opposite as well. There are many of us that we forget. The Quran also mentions that if a person has to desert their wife, has to separate their wife, then how does a person do that? Person does it upon amicable terms, good terms. As the Quran mentions that when you enter into marriage, you've taken mithaqan ghaliba, a heavy covenant. Some of the ulama mentioned this covenant has a value of 1,000 covenants, 1,000 knots, 1,000 contracts. There's many uqood inside the Quran. A person makes contracts of buying, selling, purchasing, promises, etc. Mentioned inside the Quran, the beginning of Surah Al-Ma'idah that we find, be truthful towards your uqood, the covenants that you make. But only one covenant inside the Quran is mentioned that you've taken a severe, a deep commitment, is regarding matrimonial relationships. Person just doesn't dissolve it like this. It doesn't fall prey to the society around them, to the jahileen. Person tries to reconcile inside their lives, is what Islam encourages us to do. وَجَزَاءُ سَيِّئَةٍ سَيِّئَةٌ مِثْلُهَا فَمَنْ عَفَى وَأَصْلَحَ فَأَجْرُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ إِنَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الظَّالِمِينَ. The recompense of a bad deed is a bad deed. That person may retaliate with a bad deed towards another individual. But there's a deeper way of the believer. فَمَنْ عَفَى وَأَصْلَحَ فَأَجْرُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ. Whoever pardons and forgives and tries to reconcile, فَأَجْرُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ. That person's reward is upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah will reward that individual. This is where many of us, yes, our intention many times, and definitely at all times, should be inside our salah, inside our zakah, inside our ibadat that we find, should be focused towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But what about these moral values? Do we forgive and pardon? Do we overlook for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that my ajr will be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? If a person disputes with another individual and they continuously dispute with you, and you know that you're right, person doesn't carry on disputing, person leaves it. For what reason does a person leave it? لأن له بيت في الجنة. The person will have a house in paradise. The person who knows that they're right. This person is continuously debating you, arguing with you. For what purpose? Leave it. Because your intention will be to gain something far greater than that. To gain the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thus we find that practical examples inside the Quran, or tafsir that can be taken from certain verses inside the Quran, speak about how the companions understood certain verses inside the Quran. For example, we find inside Surah An-Nur. And before we enter inside these ayat inside Surah An-Nur, it will be good to refresh our memories about this surah, Surah An-Nur, that we find in the 24th chapter of the Quran, which mentions the word Nur 7 times inside this surah. Very rarely does Allah repeat a certain word inside the same surah. Very rarely it occurs. As ulama of tafsir mentioned, that shows about ahmiyah, the importance of this surah. About this is a surah that contains Allahu Nuru Samawati wal Ard, that one of the greatest parables speaking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's numerous passages inside the Quran which speak about Azamatullah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which speak about the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, inside Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 255, Ayatul Kursi, A'adhumul ayah fil Qur'an, the greatest ayah inside the Qur'an. 10 separate sections, all speaking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The end of Surah Al-Hajr, Hashr, the 59th chapter of the Qur'an, all speaking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And likewise here, in the middle of the Qur'an, inside Surah An-Nur that we find, speaking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nurun ala nur, light upon light. Allah guides to his light whomever he wills. And as we find that this Madani surah, 64 verses that we find, has been narrated and mentioned about Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, mentioned when he sent a letter and advised the people. He said to the people, teach your family members these surahs. Surah An-Nisa, Al-Ahzab, Wal-Nur. An-Nisa, the fourth chapter of the Quran, speaking predominantly about rights and regulations towards women. Surah Al-Ahzab, the 33rd chapter of the Quran, also speaking about dress sense, code and conduct of women. And likewise Surah An-Nur, the 24th chapter of the Quran, speaking about rights and regulations about society. And this has been narrated by Imam Shawkani in his tafsir, Fathul Qadir. And thus we find that the theme of this surah that we find, a moral society. That's what this surah is speaking about. How to develop a moral society. Male and female relationships. Proper dress sense that we find. Punishment of adultery, of fornication. We shouldn't shy away from what our deen teaches us. The whole surah, it begins by speaking about those individuals who carry out these evil practices. The evidences are established for these individuals. This is the punishment for these individuals. When Allah mentioned Surah Anzalnaha wa Faradnaha wa Anzalna fiha ayatin bayyinat la'allakum tadhakkarun. Surah Anzalnaha. No other surah begins with such wordings inside the Quran. Every surah is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But why does Allah mention Surah Anzalnaha? This is a surah we've set down. هذا للتخصيص. For something specific, there's something more deeper inside this surah. وَفَرَدْنَاهَا. We made it an obligation for you to look at the commandments inside this surah. To learn from the commandments inside this surah. And there are many commandments inside this surah. وَقُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ وَيَحْفَظُوا فُرُوجَهُمْ. Say to the believing men to lower their gazes, to guard their chastity. Then after it mentions وَقُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنَاتِ. Then after it says, say to the believing women to lower their gazes and to guard their chastity, guard their private parts. Other injunctions that are mentioned inside this, likewise we find punishment, as we mentioned, people who commit adultery. And this should make us quiver. Make us begin to reflect upon the Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because many of us take life trivial. That people, they commit zina openly. It's become, may Allah forbid, a common norm in the society that we live in. To have extramarital relationships. To be involved in haram. To be involved in all these evil practices that we find. Al-fawahish. People think it's just common practice. As even the end of the surah mentions, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُحِبُّونَ أَن تَشِيعَ الْفَاحِشَةُ فِي الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. Those who love to spread fawahish, evil moral, sexual misconduct, bad behavior, illicit relationships inside society. لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. For these individuals will be evil chastisement inside this dunya. A prime reason for sexually transmitted diseases on the face of this earth is what? is simply because of adultery, because of fornication. That's a fact. That's a reality. There's nothing to shy away from the fact. This is the reason why these diseases, when a person is a morally upright individual, a married individual, then a person preserves their chastity, preserves themselves. But when a person becomes what the society is preaching inside society, it leads towards these diseases. The hadith speaking about Isra wal Mi'raj, a night journey that we find, whereby the Prophet ﷺ, he went through Jannah, he went through Jahannam, he saw the people, their punishment. And he saw people in a state of nudity, male and female individuals, that they're coming out of tanur, coming out of the burning pot or burning hole. That they're coming out of that and the fire is burning them. And after Jibreel ﷺ explained that these are the male and female individuals who committed zina upon this earth. This is the punishment for these individuals. Returning back to the ayat inside Surah An-Nisa, verse number 22, that we find that speak about forgiving and overlooking. We find inside this verse that we find وَلَا يَأْتِي أُولُو الْفَضْلِ مِنْكُمْ وَالسَّعَةِ أَنْ يُعْتُوا أُولِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْمَسَاكِينَ وَالْمُهَاجِرِينَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَلْيَعْفُوا وَلْيَصْفَحُوا أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ أَنْ يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Don't those individuals who want, those individuals, let any of you take an oath to swear that I'm not going to forgive if you have the wealth and the property and richness, to say I'm not going to give to those individuals who are qurba wal masakin, those close family members, those who are the poor individuals, and those who carry out the hijrah for the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This ayah is referring to Mistah ibn Athatha, who was a maternal cousin, the son of the maternal aunt of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. As this surah, the main theme of this surah is referring in reference to what is known as Qissatul Ifk, the story of blaming Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala anhu of carrying out this evil action. Read the tafsir of this surah to get a greater understanding. The Al-Munafiqun began to spread these stories because this companion who picked up Aisha and brought her over back to the Prophet ﷺ, they began to whisper and began to spread tales and slander and stories. And Aisha became upset about this. When she turned to her own father, he never really believed her, to such a degree that some ulama tafsir mentioned that even the Prophet ﷺ, that some element of doubt came onto his mind as well. So she said that, I know that I am free, and Allah will send down revelation regarding me. That you find the ayat inside Surah An-Nur, in detail speaking about freeing Aisha radiallahu anha from any blame. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, this individual was part of spreading these tales. He repented. The punishment was given to him, whatever punishment was given at that time, and he repented. But Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, being a father, that being his daughter, just like many of us, many of us individuals may hold, as they say, a grudge inside our heart. May still hold it inside our heart. That why should we show kindness and goodness? This individual was min ahlil qurba, from amongst the people close to him. His relative was miskeen, was a poor individual who performed the hijrah. Abu Bakr Siddiq was the one who was spending upon him all that time. So now he refuses to spend upon him because of these comments that he made. But Allah mentioned or highlighted, أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ أَنْ يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. Don't you want that Allah should forgive you? This is where, in the mind of Abu Bakr Siddiq, a greater dimension, Ibn Kathir mentions, that when this verse is revealed, he said, of course that we want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us. Of course that we want that. So he said, I will never ever stop spending upon this individual as long as I am alive. This is what we call forgiveness, overlooking and pardoning. And like what we find, إِذَا وَقَفْنَا إِنْدَ هَذِي الْآيَةِ أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ أَنْ يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. That don't you want that Allah to forgive you? And many times we mention this, that what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala love? This is what we need to home in inside our lives. Abu Bakr Siddiq was worried about his own love, his own right, what belongs to him. But Allah wants to take him to a higher dimension. Don't worry about your own self and your personal status. Seek that which Allah loves. And this is the difference between iman and nifaq. You know, hypocrisy is widespread. Whether it be al-nifaq al-i'tiqadi, whether it be the nifaq of belief, which is hidden that people display themselves as Muslims and try to dismantle Islam. That exists, unfortunately. But you find an-nifaq al-amali, hypocrisy which is open, apparent. All of us, we suffer from that. There's no exceptions. But there's various grades. There's various grades of nifaq. And a person needs to be vigilant about that. When an-nifaq, hypocrisy becomes apparent, it's common practice. People here shouldn't say, let's overlook, let's pardon, let's forgive. This is not the time to say to pardon and to overlook and to forgive. That which is apparent. Allah mentions Sifatul Munafiqeen inside Surah Tawbah, what their characteristics are and what the characteristics of the believers are. Believers order the good and they forbid the evil. That's what believers do. What do hypocrites do? They يَأْمُرُونَ المنكر وَيَنْهَانَ عَنِ الْمَعْرُوفِ. They prohibit the good. They prohibit the good and they order the evil. The opposite of what the believers do. So when this becomes open inside society, a person shouldn't say, make an excuse for people. Nifaq is apparent in front of us. We find legislating haram, allowing haram, presenting haram inside society, encouraging haram. This is a great big responsibility. Just like we mentioned that Surah An-Nur. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُحِبُّونَ أَن تَشِيعَ الْفَاحِشَةُ فِي الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Those who love to spread vice. You know, as a personal individual, if I commit haram, it's my personal sin. It's between me and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If a person in authority comes out inside society and creates an environment for people to do haram, people shouldn't say, turn a blind eye, overlook that. That's open nifaq, open hypocrisy, open dismantling of society, that leading society towards muharramat, encouraging people, come and do these actions, come and participate inside these actions. We as a Muslim society should be wary about that. We shouldn't drop our guard and fall prey that life is forgiveness, life is overlooking. This is an element a person shouldn't overlook. Person should be brave enough to highlight this is something which is dismantling our society. This is hypocrisy that's chewing away from our society. That's going to take away the moral fiber of our society, the moral values of our society, the goodness of our society, that we are based upon these Islamic teachings and principles that we have. And likewise, continue about Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. Other narrations that speak about Abu Bakr as-Siddiq that we find in the Sunnah of Abi Dawood that we find. Whereby once Abu Bakr as-Siddiq was sitting there, a man came and he reviled Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, said certain words to him. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq remained silent. The man again said something about him. Again he remained silent. The third time the man again said something to him. And this time Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, he stood up. Or he retaliated, said some words back to him. The Prophet alayhi salam, he stood up and he began to walk away. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq said, are you angry about something, Ya Rasulullah? Is there something that's happened that's made you angry to walk away from this gathering? He said to him that the first time this person reviled you, an angel defended you. The second time this person reviled you, the angel defended you again. The third time this person reviled you, then you stood up to revile him or to curse him, to respond to him. So then shaitan came in the middle. I don't like to sit in a majlis where shaitan attends. So the Prophet ﷺ, he got up and he left. This is what life and characteristics of the believers are. A jadal, argumentative behavior. Always trying to have the last straw, the last argument, the last say, the last word, to prove that the person is always right that we find. And thus we find that this is something we should develop inside ourselves, to pardon and to forgive and to have amicable relationship towards the people around us. We find that to be an individual of goodwill, but to be able to pardon and to forgive individuals, isn't, as some people begin to mention, is a weak personality. Rather, ulama of ethics and akhlaq have mentioned, a person who's able to forgive and to pardon and to overlook is a sign of a strong personality, a strong individual. That's how ulama of tazkiyah, ulama of akhlaq, have discussed that a person who's able to do that is in a stronger moral fiber, a moral element, that this individual has the ability to retaliate, to respond, to take back their due right, or whatever it may be. But this individual has a higher limit of the devotion, commitment towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet ﷺ is the greatest example. The best of creation that we find, that he persevered through all the harm, all the plotting of his tribe, his clansmen, all the people around him who showed this hatred towards the Prophet ﷺ. How that he remained committed. When a person has that belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, has that conviction and belief that he, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is always with those individuals who are the patient individuals, that in facing this persecution, Allah will respond to these individuals. Maybe inside this dunya, if not more so inside the akhirah. Thus you find that the harm that these people, that they may throw upon the believing individuals, response is given inside the Quran. That's why many times inside the Quran, you find the Quran concludes or ends or speaking about forgiving, about pardoning, overlooking. And to no exception to that we find the end of Surah Al-Nahl, that we find the 16th chapter of the Quran. When عَاقَبْتُمْ فَعَاقِبُوا مِثْلِ مَا عُقِبْتُمْ بِهِ. If you are to retaliate, or to seek due right, or to punish, then you should respond equally, according to the punishment that is due to that individual. Person shouldn't go beyond the parameters, go beyond the limits. Person shouldn't go into a frenzy, go into an enragement. That this person punished me or done this to me, so now I will do beyond that, what they've done to me. Person should be controlled inside their response. وَلَئِن صَبَرْتُمْ لَوَ خَيْرُ لِلصَّابِرِينَ. But once again, the ayah seeks towards that which is better. وَلَئِن صَبَرْتُمْ. Al-ishara into something which is better than if you have to retaliate. If you be patient regarding this, لَوَ خَيْرُ لِلصَّابِرِينَ. This is going to be more beneficial, more benefit for the patient individuals. وَصْبِرْ وَمَا صَبْرُكَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. Be patient. Indeed, your patience is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَا تَحْزَنْ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا تَكُوْ فِي دَيْقٍ مِمَّا يَمْكُرُونَ. Don't become over-worried about what people are doing, what people are saying. Don't become in a state of deep, being upset, anguish, anxiety, depression. As the ulama mentioned, from the word deep comes this concept of depression. A Muslim is never depressed. وَتِلْكَ الْأَيَّامُ نُدَاوِلُهَا بَيْنَ النَّاسِ. These are days that we alternate on the face of this earth. Person doesn't go into deep depression. A natural depression may exist for all of us human beings. Certain elements of loss, of wealth, property, they find, person feeds it inside their heart. But a person is never overcome. The believer is never overcome that they become an individual who fret about their life. You know, close to 1 million people commit suicide. Why? Because why? They lose hope. What's the biggest element that Muslims have is faith, is discipline. وَلَا تَحْزَنْ عَلَيْهِمْ. Don't grieve, don't worry about their words and their statements. Don't become upset about what these people are carrying out, or what they're planning. Even they're plotting, they're planning, that you find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that Surah Ibrahim. That they're plotting and they're planning is لِتَزُولَ مِنْهُ الْجِبَانِ. Their plotting and their planning can move mountains out of place. You know, if we study that linguistically and in today's world, they can change a whole country from here to there. They can make the right look wrong, the wrong look right, evil look good and good look bad. That's what they can do. That's how accurate, how Allah mentioned, the accurate their planning is. That good people look like they're the evil people on the face of this earth. And evil people look like they're the most best of citizens and the best of individuals on the face of this earth. That's what Allah mentioned, that they can move mountains from out of their place if we took this ayah linguistically, in their deceptive nature and their practice. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ اللَّهَ غَافِلًا غَافِلًا عَمَّا يَعْمَلُ الظَّالِمُونَ. Don't think Allah is ghafil, unaware of what these ظَالِمُونَ, what these oppressive people, what they do. They cannot escape from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوا وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ مُحْسِنُونَ. Allah is with those individuals who fear Him. Whoever fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah is with that individual. Allah is waliyul muttaqin. Allah is the friend of the pious individuals. Allah is with those individuals who believe. لَهُمُ الْبُشْرَى فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا فِي الْآخِرَةِ. For them is bushra. الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Those who believe and they fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Person who developed that inside their heart. They are the friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why read the works of Shaykh Shabib ibn Taymiyyah, Al-Furqan, Bayna Awliya al-Shaytani wa Awliya al-Rahman. The criteria between the friends of Allah and the friends of Shaytan. Read the distinction. Who are the friends of Allah? What are the symbols of the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the symbols of the friends of Shaytan that we find? And that's why Ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullahi, read through his works, read through his life. Tara ajaib. You find strange things about this personality. Strange things. You know, it wasn't just the common people. It wasn't the common people who accused him of certain things. Read deep inside his seerah, inside his life. You find it was ulama. Al-ajilla. It was great ulama at that time. Great ulama who spoke about Ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullahi alayh, that led him to be incarcerated, to be placed inside prison. Ulama. Ulama al-dawla, ulama al-sultan were there around the leaders. So that this is Ibn Taymiyyah, this is an individual. In today's words, a radical individual who wants to change society. A person has these fatawa that go against the common practice inside our society. Placed in prison. Read his ar-rasail fi sijil. Read his letters inside prison. وَحَتَّ لَمَّ كَانَ فِي السِّجْنِ. When even inside prison, you find a high moral fiber. He never broke down. Prison in that time, in Damascus that we find wasn't, or inside Misr that we find wasn't like the prisons of today that we find all luxuries. You know, majority of his works, his tafsir, ulama mentions, written with coal. Coal that he found inside prison. That's when the coal was taken away. You find that it came the end of the life of Shaykh Saq ibn Taymiyyah. No books. No books for the using of his mind, his works of tafsir that he wrote. His fatawa, Majmu' al-Fatawa, is 36 volumes printed. Each volume, approximately 500 pages. That's his fatawa. What Shaykh Saq ibn Taymiyyah he wrote. This individual inside incarceration, prisoners around him, bad, wicked individuals. Does he join their plot and their deception? Or does he begin to preach to them the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That's how much of a character he was. That these individuals told to come out of prison, they said we'd rather remain incarceration with Shaykh Islam ibn Taymiyyah. Because he's reformed us. He's changed us. He's a real teacher. He doesn't become frustrated about his life, about what's taking place around him. And that's when he came out of prison. And time changed. A new leader came. The leader said that, what should we do with these ulama who spoke against you? What should we do with these individuals? Should we seek revenge? Should we give a rebuttal towards these individuals? فَمَاذَا قَالْ شَيْخُ السَّبْ إِمِنْ تَيْمِيَةً. He said, لَا تَرَى أَمْثَالُهُمْ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ. You're never going to find such ulama on the face of this earth. Forgive them, pardon them, overlook them. They are fuqaha. Overlook what they said about me. لَا تَثْرِيبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْيَوْمِ يَغْفِرُ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ وَهُوَ أَرْحَمُ الرَّاحِمِينَ. No blame upon them this day. Allah is the one that pardons and forgives. This is high moral fiber and characteristic and behavior. You know, for us, his life is so trivial. Just say a little tweet, a little thumbs down, a little statement. For some of us, the whole world explodes. The whole world turns upside down. Because likes and dislikes and whatever it may be, images are all based upon what? Society. It should be based upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, belief and conviction. That Allah is basir, bi'ibadihi, all seeing of his servants, khabir, all knowing of his servants, all knowing of everything. That's what should worry the individual inside their life. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with the muhsinun, with the doers of good. That's who the person wants to be, with the good doers. And muhsinun, as ulama have described, are a higher level of just being a Muslim, of being a mu'min, the pinnacle level being, or the inner level being of being muhsinun, being a muhsin, who goes far higher, far greater than the average individual. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq and ability to become amongst those individuals who are muhsinun, the doers of good, who excel inside our practices, external practices, our internal practices, our affair, our relationship, our personal relationship within our hearts with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That when we forgive and we pardon and we overlook, it's sincerely inside our hearts, seeking the pleasure and happiness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.